The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Just thank you for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 23. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, and he's giving a testimony of the things that he has gone through. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys, often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Beside all those things which are without. Watch what it says. That cometh upon me daily. The care of all the churches. So here the Apostle Paul is stating what he has gone through. But yet the Apostle Paul, as you know as well as I do, as we read our Bible, was not one that was going to give up. He was not one that was going to sit around and complain and say, woe is me. He was one, if you would please, that was able to overcome things in his life to be able to reach that which was the will of God in his life on a daily basis. So I want to speak to you this morning on climb over the bumps. Climb over the bumps. You know, every single one of us have bumps in a road. There's 2 children that was climbing the side of a mountain one day, and as they were climbing the side of the mountain, one of the children began to complain over and over again and said, it's just too rocky. It's just too bumpy. The other child was very determined to be able to reach the top of the side of the mountain and looked back at that one that was complaining profusely and said this, well, that's just part of getting over the bumps, and if you're going to get over the bumps, that's the only way to reach the top. Now, can I tell you that's true in our life? If you allow the bumps and you allow those that are potholes and you allow problems to overtake you, you will never reach that which is the pinnacle point of obeying God and walking in His will. And by the way, can I tell you, life is not perfect. Can I tell you that you're going to have all sorts of things that come against you? Can I tell you, you're going to have all sorts of problems that challenge you? Can I tell you, you're going to have all sorts of things that come at your face and you will not know what to do with them sometimes until you rely on God and God gives you that grace to be able to bear it. So what is it that you and I need to do in order to climb over the bumps? I know that perhaps we would like to be on that speedway. They call it the Bonneville Salt Flats that's there in Utah. That's where people go, and they take their cars, and they reach enormous speeds. Matter of fact, that is the place where you'll see that in the northwestern part of Utah, where you call it the salt beds, where all the salt is pressed down, and it's just a natural speedway. And people would get on that speedway, and they would take their cars, and they would get them up to maximum speed. On that particular salt bedded area, more speed records have been broken than any other area that's in the continental USA. Now, that was a place that God put on the face of this earth. I don't necessarily thought he put it on the face of the earth for people to break speed records, but it's a beautiful place, and it's a place that God put on the earth, and there's virtually no bumps there. And most of us would like to drive down roads that would be just like that. We like to have all the bumps removed. We don't want any problems. Just give us a safe drive home, if you will. Just make everything hunky-dory-dory. Make everything perfect. I mean, after all, we deserve a perfect life. And you know my answer to that is there's not a person in this room that deserves a perfect life. Matter of fact, we as sinners, if it was not for the grace of God, would have a life that would be destined to hell. And anything above going to hell, can I tell you, is a benefit. You ought to thank God for everything that God allows you to go through. You saw a preacher, I paid for a full cup of coffee, and they only gave me 3/4 of a cup of coffee. Well, I think maybe you ought to go back and say, add a little bit more. But if you're already in the car and you're driving down the road, don't complain about 3/4 of a cup of coffee, 3/4 of the way all the way home. Don't do that. You know, learn to look at the bumps, learn to see that there is goodness in all that God does for you. You know, thank God. The other night I was teaching on a course, relationships and in the home and things of that nature, and about with leaders and stuff like that. Don't cast your marriage aside because you have a 6-minute bad conversation. Right. Thank God for the 6 years you've had together. Don't cast your marriage aside because of a 8-minute conversation compared to 8 wonderful years, or a 10-minute conversation compared to 10 wonderful years. You know, if God has been good to you, thank God for all the times that you had without the bumps. Now, by the way, you're going to have some bumps in your life. Sometimes bumps will cause us to reduce our speed. Sometimes it causes us to kind of back off a little bit and slow down. I was talking to, I was out with, I had Brother Baldivis that went with me yesterday, out soul winning and visiting, and I noticed that he was kind of getting out of the car. We would stop, you know, we would go out to go up and make a visit, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm not as young as what I used to be." He said, "It's harder to get up, and it's harder to get down." He said, "Matter of fact, when I get up slower, and when I get down slower." Okay, now can I tell you, listen, I believe this, that growing old is not for sissies. Yeah, there's bumps that's in the road. Sometimes those bumps will cause us to reduce speed. Sometimes they'll cause us to take detours. I don't know if you've ever done this or not. And can I tell you, I'm praying for the day when Mesquite starts working on the roads. Because some of the roads that you get on are not really called roads. I think they're just called, backstreet alley bumpways or something. I don't know. But man, I tell you, some of the roads here in Mesquite, man, I'm driving down the roads and you hit a pothole, you know, and you think you're going to wind up in China or someplace like that. I mean, you know, it's just a big crevice in the road, all right? Now, can I tell you, when I see that there's a way to go around a bump, when I see there's a way to go around a pit hole or a hole in the road, if you will, I'll go around that if I can. But if I can't go around that, sometimes I've got to slow down. You say, why? Because I appreciate my axle, that's why. I appreciate my front end alignment, that's why. But sometimes you have to slow down a little bit, and sometimes you got to kind of go around. Now, that should not deter you from reaching your ultimate destination. That should not cause you to say, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to give up and throw in the towel and go home. No, that's not the way to do it. If you're going to have a good marriage, it's going to take work. If you're going to raise godly kids, it's going to take work. If you're going to try and have that which is a successful business, it's going to take work. If you're going to have high level of people skills, it's going to take work. There's nothing that you're going to have in life or you're going to face in life that does not take initiative and does not take work on your behalf. You know, sometimes too many bumps will cause us to say, okay, I'm going to choose another road or another lane. Sometimes it will. It will cause people not to take the road. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever done these off-road excursions. I don't know if you've ever done that or not. I don't know if you've ever seen these roads that kind of lead off the road, and you say, man, I wonder where that leads to. And you've kind of gotten on that road, and then to figure out that, you know, it doesn't lead anywhere. And you have to back yourself out of that road. Or maybe you decide that you're going to go over somebody's house. And I remember when I lived on the farm, we had this long lane. You'd have to get out and you'd have to open the gate in order to come down our lane. And so it wasn't one of these mechanically open gates where you press a button. No, we lived in the olden days. You got to get out and actually move your body to open the gate. And it was a long gate that opened so their trucks could come in and out. And so, but I remember getting out as a young man even and going to the farm and opening that gate. And then the vehicle would have to go through the gate. Then you get back out, or you stay out if you're not the driver, and you shut that gate when that vehicle gets behind that. And I remember going down our old country farm road. And can I tell you, it was not concrete. Can I tell you, it was not asphalt. Can I tell you, it was just bumpy old dirt and stones. And you traveled all the way down into the valley to where our farm was. Now, can I tell you, it was a long way down there to the farm. You could see it from the roadside, but it was a long way down there to the farm, and you bumped your way down. Sometimes we ride on the grass a little bit just to be able to not bump our way down into the farm. Now, can I tell you, listen, bumps do some things in our life, but bumps can also be a blessing. Let me give you some things to think about. You know, when bumps come in your life, it ought not to change your decision. Statement number one. When bumps come in your life, it ought not to change your decision. If the will of God is the will of God, the will of God will be the will of God with or without bumps. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean that I can have a dentist-free life. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean that I don't have to go to the doctor from time to time. Just because I'm saved does not mean that I don't have to get out and work on my truck from time to time. Just because I'm saved, my grass does not stop growing and remain perfect all year long. And just because I'm saved doesn't mean the refrigerator might not from time to time need some special attention. Yea, may I say this, in relationships, just because I'm saved or just because I have a wife that's saved, it doesn't mean that there's always going to be a perfect, if you would please, a communication level between the two or between the children or somebody else like that in any given relationship. I'm saying when bumps come to you, it should not change your decision. Listen to this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4, the Bible says the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. So what did he do? He changed his decision. Well, I'm not going to plow. I mean, why should I plow? It's cold outside. Well, a good reason to plow when it's cold outside is because of the fact the field does need plowing. If you can't plow, you can't plant. If you can't plant, you can't reap, all right? Notice this. The Bible says here in that very same verse, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4, the Bible says, therefore, it says, shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Now, why would he beg and harvest? Because he made a wrong decision when a bump came. Don't make wrong decisions when bumps come in your life. There was William Sidney Porter. His pen name was O. Henry. William Sidney Porter was a banker. Matter of fact, he was in charge of being able to doing some of the teller stuff and some of the more intricate parts of the bank and counting things to make everything sure that everything would come down to where the dollar and the penny would match up with the deposits and withdrawals and things of that nature. And one year, a lot of money went missing. They said he stole it. Later on, they found out it was a misjustice and the money had been misplaced someplace, but it was under his watchful eye, and they said that he stole it at the time, and he served 5 years in prison. While he was 5 years in prison, he kept saying in my heart, I know I'm innocent, everything could be okay, but I'm not going to let that get me down. And so Mr. O. Henry, if you will, wrote many books. And as he wrote many books under the surname of O. Henry, when he got out, he became very, very wealthy because he did not let the bumps get him down. Even though that he was in prison, even though that he was in confinement, even though that the things that was done to him was very unjust and not right and not proper, he took his eyes off of the bumps and he got himself some purposes in his life and he drove forward with those purposes, and because of that, later on, O. Henry became a very wealthy individual. He was known for his wit. One day he was going to a publisher after being out of prison and had published many books, and he went to his New York publisher and he said, listen, I've come by to write, to get my check for my royalties. He said, you owe me money. I've come by to pick up my check for my royalties. And that which was the agent said, well, I can't write you a check today. I've got a sprained ankle. He said, I didn't know that you write with your foot. And he was just always witty. And no matter what came his way, he would always spill back something else. And he had a certain wit about him, a certain, if you would please, a ha-ha about him that made him likable with all people around him. But wait a minute. He had a bump. He was sent to prison and later on found out not to be guilty, and he served 5 years in prison, but he didn't sit there in the cell and he didn't stare at the walls and he didn't look at the confinement that he was in. He decided to take that which was in his life and make the best out of it. He didn't turn back. He decided to climb over that which was the bumps. And can I tell you, by the good grace of God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It doesn't matter what type of bump comes in your life. With God, all things are possible, and you can take and climb over top of the bumps. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks." Everything. Can you give thanks for your bumps this morning? Can you give thanks for your bumps? By the way, if your husband has a lot of bumps, you can recognize who he is just by putting your hand there and say, closing your eyes. Oh, yeah, I know it's you. Okay? So bumps are beneficial. You know, the Bible says, "In everything, give thanks." It says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So what's the will of God? Give thanks. Yeah. By the way, when you have bumps in your life and you're not giving thanks, then could I say very forthrightly, then you're out of the will of God. So when you have bumps in your life and you're not thankful, then you're not walking in the will of God. So if I were you, if you got bumps in your life and you're not thankful for your life, then I would get right with God, get back on course with God, put yourself in the presence of God, and be able to be thankful for your bumps. Amen. Be thankful. All right? Listen to this. Statement number one. When bumps come, then you decide to keep your decision. Statement number two. Those who climb over bumps. God gives us several people in the Bible that climb over top of bumps. The Bible talks about that which is the honey. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Thou hast found honey." Or it says, "Hast thou found honey?" So it's asking a question. It says, "Eat as much as is sufficient for thee." Now, stay with me now. You realize some people, when they get down with the bumps, if you would, I didn't say mumps, but that's close. But some people, when they get down with the bumps, here's what happens. They take a lot of medication. They take a lot of things that will help them, and they can overdo it. Amen. They can overdo it. So be very, very careful that when you're down with the bumps, not to be able to, well, walk around, "Pray for me. I'm having a hard time. Pray for me. Life is so miserable. Pray for me. If you only knew who I was married to, pray for me. If you only knew the trouble we're having with our children, oh, pray for me. If you only knew that all the relatives are coming over and it's going to be terrible at Christmas time because I've got to cook. Please pray for me." You know, be careful that you don't over-medicate yourself, because the other end of that, the Bible says if you take in too much honey, you're going to get sick. So you can get so many people coming around. You can get so many people, stand up and feel sorry for yourself. You can get so many people coming around. You get so many people, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You get so many people walking around you and trying to help you that you become a distraction. Then your kids are looking at you saying, "What's wrong?" And, you know, "What's wrong with Dad? What's wrong with him? Look at him. He's a mess. I mean, what do we do?" And before you know it, you know, all right, thank you. Be seated. You did really well, Brother Wislowski. Your wife says you've had much practice there. There's a hot dog eating contest. It's called Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Company that puts it on. It's always held on the 4th of July. It's a sponsored program. And every year now, they give away $20,000 for whoever can eat the most hot dogs in 10 minutes. $20,000. You say, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to go." You'd have to beat a guy by the name of Joey. Joey has gone every year for 7 years. His record is this. In 2013, he ate 69 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's nearly seven hot dogs and the buns, seven hot dogs and their buns every minute for 10 minutes. Seven. You know why he kept going back? He said, because I had the overwhelming desire to overcome. I had the overwhelming desire. Second place runner up that has ever come close has eaten 51 hot dogs. Now, I don't know about you, I'd probably be able to eat five. And they'd have to be the small ones. You know, but here was a guy that decided, here's what I want to do. I'm going to personally take the challenge to overcome those bumps. I'm going to take the challenge. And he did that for years in a row, just successfully doing it 7 years in a row, 7 years in a row, coming away with the championship, coming away with the championship, coming away with the championship. Why? Because he put his mind to it. Now, can I tell you, you and I as believers don't only have to put our mind to it, but we have a Holy Ghost that can help us, and you can overcome the bumps with God helping you with these bumps. All right, listen to this. Joseph was hated by his brothers. He was sold into bondage. He was falsely accused. He was jailed. He was forsaken, but he didn't quit. He learned to overcome the bumps. The Apostle Paul, five times he received 39 lashes, save one. There was three times he was shipwrecked. He was forsaken by his brethren, by his own countrymen. He was robbed. He was left in torment many, many times. Listen to me, but he overcame the bumps. You think about different ones that's listed in the Bible. David, of course, was on trial all the time by Saul. Saul wanted to kill him and always tried to corner him. But David decided he was going to place his trust in God. And he went to God, and God gave him wisdom as to which way to turn, even not just which way to go. And because of that, he was able to overcome some of the bumps in his life. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20 of the Bible says, and Jesus saith unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now I'm going to ask you something. What are you going to do when bumps come in your life? Jesus even could have got distraught. Jesus could have looked and said, look, I'm the Son of God, just not fair. I left the portals of glory. I left heaven's riches and I came to earth. But he didn't do that. See, our Lord Jesus knew to put his faith in his heavenly Father, and he knew to be able to go forward. And to be able to go forward, can I tell you, is better than standing still or falling out of the will of God. Statement number one, I'm saying when the bumps come, don't change your decision that God's will is the most important. Statement number two, those who climb over the bumps are good examples for us. Statement number three, you know, everyone is going to have the bumps. Everyone's going to have the bumps. Dr. Mike Ray and his wife Verna went on our married couples cruise, and I wanted him to be able to spend time with his wife, and he was looking, as he shared with my wife and I, at an 800-page manual that he was trying to finish up on the cruise so that he could publish it when he got back and send it to the publishers and whatnot. So he had an agenda there on the cruise and stuff like that as well. But I told Brother Ray, I said, if you can do me a favor, I said, I'd like to have 1 hour. Just 1 hour is all I want. 1 hour, you and I sit down, cup of coffee for each one of us, sit down, and let's just chat. Because you see, I know this, that iron sharpeneth iron. I knew some things he could share with me that would sharpen me, and I knew some things I could share with him that would sharpen him. Iron sharpeneth iron. And can I tell you, in the marriage relationship, dear friend, that's the way it ought to be. Iron sharpeneth iron. Can I tell you, in the pastor-people relationship, that's the way it ought to be. Iron sharpeneth iron. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. Brother Ortez was sitting in the car one night on Thursday night, and I went to Brother Ortez, and I said, we're praying about this in our Bible college, and I need your expertise on this. I need your insight. What do you think? Because he was an expert in that area that I considered us doing. And so he gave me some good, wholesome advice. Iron sharpeneth iron. Yesterday, Joshua was out there, and he was spraying the top of the bus, and the Lord has blessed us. We're able to get two more buses this past Thanksgiving Day that Brother Walters was able to bid on for us and got them down, and we were able to get two 2001 buses, so I'm excited. We'll have 11 buses back there. We're going to sell some of them, but Josh has taken it upon himself, and he's out there. He's spraying the bus. He's got the top almost done, and it is white, and he was out there, and Brother paralysis. He was having a hard time trying to figure out, you know, how to get that mechanism thing to work. And so Brother Paralysis came alongside and was able to help out with some areas like and stuff like that. And so iron sharpeneth iron. When we started the Baptist Scout Rangers program, I've had on my heart for a long time. We used to have the Baptist Boys Battalion, and that got submerged many years ago when the leader decided to submerge it. And so, but we had a burden to start something back, and so I had it in my heart to start something back. And lo and behold, Brother Heminger shows up at my door, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'd like to be able to start a program for our boys. I'd like to know what you think about this." And we sat down, and we went over to the Boy Scouts of America, and we went through there, and we started throwing ideas back and forth, and developed the Baptist Scout Rangers program. And can I tell you, iron sharpeneth iron. There's been many times in our church where I've turned to Brother Acosta, and I said, "We need to cook this. I need your help. What do you think? He has cooked for hundreds and hundreds of people before in the masses, and I said, "You know, our church is growing. I want to make sure that we can feed people of this amount." And he would say, "Preacher, there's no problem with that. Here's what we can do with this." And here, always innovative, always great ideas. What is that? Iron sharpeneth iron. Can I tell you, that's exactly what the Bible is talking about here. See, you don't have to go through your problems by yourself. Stay with me now. Don't let me lose you. We are a church family. We do sharpen each other. That's what a church family does do. And so, you know, everyone is going to have some bumps. You're going to have some bumps. I remember years ago, my dear wife will remember this, and we got into this thing of counting when our children would not obey. You remember that, dear? And so we got into this thing of counting when our children would not obey. And so our children, brother, would not obey, and we would say, "Come over here." And they wouldn't come over here, and we'd say, "One, two." And we hit three, you know, they're supposed to come. And one of our dear pastor's wives of many years ago, now in heaven, Mrs. Williams said, "Why are you giving them three opportunities to disobey rather than one?" I thought, ooh. She said, "Cut that nonsense out. Don't give them three opportunities to disobey and to think about disobedience. You expect them to obey immediately. Isn't that what God expects of you? You're teaching them that when God calls them that they need to consider it or wait until he calls a second and third time. Don't do that. You expect them to obey you like you expect them to obey God." I thought, whoa. She said, "Read your Bible and you'll find out it's true." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You probably don't even know where to read your Bible, do you?" She said, "Let me tell you where to read your Bible." Now, this is the pastor's wife. She said, "Let me tell you, as a young couple, where to read your Bible." She said, read the example of Samson. Where you'll see that God was reaching down and God was calling him, and read the example how he was expected to go, and he did. He ran to his authority immediately when he heard his name. Okay, now can I tell you? You can learn iron sharpeneth. By the way, we didn't get offended by that. Here was an older lady that had raised children, knew what she was doing. We had never raised children before. We didn't know what we were doing. And so she decided she was going to take and step in and give us some advice. Iron sharpeneth iron. You see, you know, the Bible talks here about how you can sharpen somebody so much that you change their very countenance. Yeah, you know, come on, watch. I'm a preacher. I mean, that's what God's called me to do. That's what I'll do till I die. I'm 55. You know, I've been preaching for over 33 years, and I know this is my calling. Somebody told me the other day, said, "Hey, listen, if you ever want to give up and quit on that, you know, I know where you could get a job making $120,000 a year. You could be a counselor. It wouldn't be as much stress, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, if you ever want to give up on that, you ever want to quit on that, you know, there could be some great opportunities out there for you." I said, "I can't do that. How can I do that? I can't do that because this is the will of God for me. This will always be the will of God for me. So I'll be preaching till the day I die. Hey, come on, one day I'll be walking on the platform up here, 102. And I'll be saying, 'Open your Bible too,' you know? And all of you will be young to me then. Okay? Now watch this. Here's what we see. Iron sharpeneth iron. It says, listen to it now. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. So it says, a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's better to know more wisdom than not. So when you iron, when you get sharpened, years ago there was a fellow, and he wrote a lot of illustrations. His name was James Hewitt. James Hewitt was known as an illustrator, wrote a lot of sermon illustrations, and I pulled some from him and stuff like that. But as he was an illustrator, he always looked for ways to write more illustrations, always. One day his neighbor had got a new television, remember how they used to put them on the roof? Yeah. Having trouble putting the antenna up on the roof. So James was his neighbor, and so James had all these tools, and he walked over, and he said, look, I've got the tools, I've got the know-how, I can help you put the antenna on top of the roof. You know, that guy next door, he said, man, he marveled at the tools. He said, that is amazing. He said, what do you use your tools for? He said, mostly to make friends. Mostly to make friends. He said, that's what I use my tools for. You know, you're gifted with certain things that nobody else has and nobody else can reproduce. Some of you smile a certain way that makes all the tension leave when somebody's talking to you. You just got that thing about you. Some of you, you're able to walk up and to encourage somebody. Some of you, you walk into a hospital room and say, hey, look, came by because I love you, just want to pray with you. And just because of your presence and your prayer, it doesn't even matter if God's going to hear your prayer or not. Just because of your presence and your prayer, they feel better. Amen. You know, some of you can walk up and you can grab, come here, Sean. Some of you can walk up and you can grab a young man by the nape of the neck and say, how you doing?
Good.
Man, I'm so glad. And it just means the world to a young person that you even notice they breathe. You see, I'm saying this. Some of you have abilities to be able to help people. And if you just reach inside of you and pull that thing out to be able to help people the way that God has made you to help people. God didn't make you to sit on a pew and just be a bump, since we're talking about bumps. But God made you to help others to overcome the bumps, not be their bump. And so he said, I use my tools simply to make friends. You know, so money is not always the answer. Character is not always the answer. You know, being there physically sometimes is not always the answer. Sometimes God uses other things in your life. Let me give you some closing statements. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and Jesus was led, it says, up, it says, of the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit, it says, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. See, listen, you know, sometimes God will allow you to be able to be in a place of serving him and loving him, but can I tell you, the devil does not like that. The devil will try to stop you. The devil will try to put a hold on you. And can I tell you, those bumps, when they come in your life, don't always look for the smooth highway. Okay, watch this. You ever put in your GPS where you're going? And if you would have went that way, you would have got there 10 minutes sooner because you knew it was the way, destination right there. But the thoughtfulness of your GPS will always try to get you on a toll road. Always. I mean, always. Say, what's that all about? It's called money. We'll always try and get you on toll road, all right? But you know, hey, if I would just go one more street without getting off on this toll road right here, if I just go one more street and get off, I'd be there, not have to pay the toll, and be there faster, right? All right, so if you know the way, then why go another way that's gonna cost you more? Stay with me. See, there's sometimes that bumps are good for us. By the way, on the toll road, can I tell you, watch this. On the toll road, it's not bumpy at all, is it? But the shorter route to get to the destination where God might have you to go, sometimes That's the bumpy way.
Amen.
Come on. You know, let's do the amens just for the guys, okay? Watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand this. We understand that when a person goes over bumps in their life, here's what takes place. Bumps in your life will help you. Bumps in your life will guide you. Bumps in your life will teach you what you will not learn any other way in your life. So you decide that you're going to take that. Don't get out of the way. Don't go away from the bumps in your life, but allow those bumps to help you. Because they'll strengthen you. Oh, but preacher, I've served God all the days of my life, and I don't deserve to have this cancer. Well, I could reason with you. Who does? But if that's what God has chosen for you, thank God for it. Thank God for it. If things that are coming in your life, if it doesn't look like that, man, this is a wonderful thing. Sometimes those things that are wonderful, are you listening to me? Sometimes those things that are wonderful come in different packages. You ever do this? I'm done. You ever get a Christmas gift and you unwrap it and there's another box. Then you unwrap it, there's another box. Then you unwrap it and there's another box. And then you unwrap it and there's another box. And then lo and behold, once you get down to the little bitty box that started off with a dryer box, and you get down to the little bitty box, you open it up and say, this has got to be it. There cannot be a smaller box than this. And you open that up, and there's a note. Your gift is in the garage. Then you go to the garage, and there's the washer box. And you open it up, and there's another box. And you open it up, and there's another box. And you open it up, and there's another box. And you open it up, and there's another box. And then there's that little bitty box, and you open it up and say, it says, little note inside, your real gift is in the kitchen. And you go in there, and there's your present. Say, who would do such a thing? I don't know. But can I tell you, it was worth the effort to go through all the bumps to get the prize. So is it in your marriage. So is it in your child rearing. So is it in your friendships. So is it in your church growth. You're going to face bumps in your life. Allow God to help you to overcome the bumps. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.